Mishnah Yomis for Friday, the 26th day of Menachem Av, Tavshin Vedalet. Masechta Baba Kama Perik Shavii, Mishnah Beis. Gonav al pishnaim, v'tovachu moch al piyam. A person who stole, according to two witnesses, and he also stole an animal, a sheep or an ox, and he slaughtered and or sold the sheep as well, based on the same two witnesses. Or al pishnaim acherim, or even if there were two other witnesses that testified that he had stolen, that he had sold or slaughtered the sheep. Meshalem teshlum arba v'chamisha. The offending person will have to pay four or five. Four in the case of the sheep that he had stolen and slaughtered, or five in the case of the ox that he had stolen and slaughtered. The Gemara explains that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that even though the Torah says, Al pishnai medim yokum dovar, the matter shall be established through two witnesses. And Rabbi Kiva says, only when it's the full matter, dovar, v'lechatzi dovar, not half a matter. And if the two witnesses are only testifying on the gneiva, and the other two witnesses are only testifying on the slaughtering or the sale, isn't that only chatzi dovar? Isn't that only half a matter? Because the edim for the tficha, the edim for the slaughtering, will not help at all without the backup of the preceding witnesses that testified that he stole it. Nevertheless, since the witnesses for the robbery are quite independent of the slaughtering, and they do not require the edim of the slaughtering anyway at all, therefore we say that in this case, the edim for the slaughtering or the selling is not considered chatzidava, even according to Rabbi Kiva. Interesting. Continues the Mishnah. Another case. Gona v'macha reshabbos. Person stole and sold the animal. Selling the animal is also tantamount. Is he also chayv? 4 and 5. On Shabbos. He did the act on Shabbos. Now, selling something on Shabbos is not a chiyuv min haTorah. There's no chiyuv misa that took place here that could exempt him from payment. And so is going to have to pay the full dalad v'hay, as we'll see. Gonav u'mochal avodah zara. If a person stole a sheep or an ox and he sold it to idols, he sold it to an idolatry place, to a place where they worship idols. Now, selling something to avodah zara is not right, is wrong, but it's not a chiyuv misa. It's not equivalent of doing avodah zara. So there is no chiyuv misa on the person, so therefore this person who stole and sold it will be chayv to pay the full tashlumin, the full dalad v'hay. Now, what would have happened if he had actually slaughtered the animal on Shabbos? Or he had slaughtered the animal for avodah zarah, in an act of idol worship? Then there would be no payment to make. Because the act that he had done on Shabbos or avodah zarah was so severe that it attracts the death penalty, that even if the fellow didn't actually get killed because the death penalty, because he was a shogeg or because there was not witnesses, nevertheless, since there is a din misa, the act is one that would attract a penalty of death. Therefore, by human hands, misa b'day adam, therefore there's no payment. No chiv tashlamin. He doesn't have to pay kefil, doesn't pay dalad v'hay. Gonav v'tovach b'yom ha-kippurim. He stole the sheep or the ox on Yom Kippur, and slaughtered on Yom Kippur. Now, slaughtering, shechting something on Yom Kippur is isur min haTorah, but is no death by court, no Mrs. Beis Din. It's chorus. It's heavenly, a heavenly inflicted punishment. And once again, therefore, there is a chiyuv tashlumin. There will be an obligation to pay. Now, even though anyone who's chayv chorus and was warned, although can't be put to death by a court, but will get malchus. And, in fact, when they get Malkus, they get exempted from Koras. It's a kapara. And if that's the case, we have a halacha, ein odom loike mishalim. A person doesn't get the double jeopardy. He doesn't get two punishments. A person will never get lashes and pay. So therefore, here, why do we say he'll have to pay? So the Gemara explains, we're talking here about a case where they didn't warn him. And because they didn't warn him, there's no actual malchus. There's no actual lashes. And that's why he's chayv tashlumin. In contrast to something, a case where there's a death penalty, where there would have been a death penalty in the case of chayv misa, where there, It doesn't matter if he actually gets killed or not. The very fact that there is what we call a din misa, the action would attract misa, it's enough to exempt from tashlumin, from payment. It's different, however, in the case of malchus. Malchus will only, getting lashes, will only exempt from a further punishment of a penalty of payment when the actual malchus is administered, not if it's just a din malchus. It's quite different. Ganav Mishal Aviv, person who stole something, he stole an ox from his father. V'tavach Hamachar, he slaughtered it or sold it. V'achyach Meis Aviv, and then afterwards his father died. Now, if his father died and he's one of the children, so he is an heir, he's one of the people entitled to the Yerusha, does that free him from paying? The answer is no, it doesn't. Because at the time he slaughtered or sold the animal, his father was alive. So he had an obligation to pay his father. Therefore, because there was already a chiyuv of paying dalad v'hei, 4 or 5, on him, so now he has to pay it. He'll pay it out to his brothers, according to how much they inherit in the Yerusha of their father. But that's only because he stole it and sold it, or stole it and slaughtered it while his father was alive. If his father had died first, and then he had slaughtered or sold it, he would not be chayv to pay dalad v'hei. And that's because, since at the time of slaughtering, he had a part ownership in the animal, being the fact that he's one of the heirs, he's a child. So no matter how small that portion is, it means he did not shecht something that was totally stolen, because he had a share in it. And the Torah only makes a person chayv if it's totally stolen. Not 90%, not 80%, but totally. Ganav v'tavach, if a person stole an animal, stole a sheep or the ox, remember these laws only apply to a shor or seh, an ox or a sheep or seh. Seh could be lamb or goat. Ganav v'tavach, he stole it and he slaughtered it. V'yachak hachikdish, and then afterwards he donated the meat to Hekdish. Well, once again, because he's chayiv in the payment before he was makdish it, therefore, Misham Tashlam Arba V'chamisha, he still has to pay the penalty of 4 or 5. 4 if it's a sheep, or 5 if it's an ox. Ganav v'tavach lifua, if he stole the animal and then slaughtered it for medicinal, for a person who's sick, or lechlavim, or for dogs, he's got some dogs. Now, the shechita was a perfectly good shechita. If he wanted, he could eat from it. So we say he's going to be chayiv. Or hashechet v'nimtzot treifa, he shechts it and it comes out that no one can eat it because it's treifa, it's suffering from, the animal was found out to have a bad lung or a bad heart. Or hashechet chulin bazor, a person who shechts ordinary meat in a zora in the temple courtyard, which is a very bad isur, and the meat is totally osur banah, nevertheless, Meshalam Tashlum Evachamasha, he'll have to pay the penalty of 4 or 5. Why? Because the actual shechita, the actual act of slaughtering that he did, was correct. The fact that he can't eat it, the meat afterwards, that's irrelevant. At least according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon says no. He says these last two cases, Chulin Bazora, and the case of Shechet and finding that it's a trefa, these two cases, no, Rabbi Shimon says he'll be potter, he'll be exempt. And that's because Rabbi Shimon holds that for a shechita to be called a shechita, it has to be fit for human consumption. Any shechita, any slaughtering, that will not allow or not result in the meat being able to be eaten, it's not even called a shechita, and therefore it doesn't come under the category of a tovach, of slaughtering it, and he would be exempt from dalad v'hei. One of the questions that the Meforshim deal with is, in the case of chulin that's slaughtered in the Azara, the halacha is that's osur banah. So if he takes someone's animal and he starts slaughtering it in the Azara, as soon as he starts to slaughter it, it's already banned from hana, from the owner. So if it's banned from the owner, when he continues slaughtering the animal, he's not slaughtering someone's animal because it's not his. It's osur banah. It's like it doesn't belong to him anymore. So therefore, the Meforshim explained that we're talking about a case where he actually started the shechita outside the Ezara, outside the temple courtyard, where the shechita was perfectly valid. But he went then into the Ezara and completed it there. So at the completion of the shechita, He's basically shat that someone else's animal. It's now also bahano, that's true. But at the time he shat that it was still someone else's animal. And therefore he would be chayv. Regardless of the fact that it can't be eaten, of course, not even hanah had from it, as the Tanakhama indeed holds. Mishnah Gimel. Gonav al pi shnayim, he stole the animal, according to two witnesses, v'tavachomach al piyem, and they also testify that he had slaughtered or sold them. In which case, you'd think that he'd have to pay dalad v'hay. And then all of a sudden, other witnesses come, v'nimtzu zomimin, and they make the first pair absolutely false or framing witnesses. Two witnesses come and they say to the first lot, how dare you testify that you saw Reuven steal someone's animal, steal someone's ox and slaughter it? You were with us that whole day in a certain other place. Classic case of Edom Zomim. Says the Mishnah, Meshal Min HaKoel. The Edom that were found out to be lying through their teeth, framing the framing that person, they will have to pay the full Dalad V'hei. Hakol, they'll pay the whole thing. As indeed it says in the Parsha of Edom Zomim, Vasisim lo yishal do to them as they try to do to their brother. They tried to make their brother, the Reuven, pay four or five, so they have to pay all these tashlamin. The Gemara adds a qualification here. We're talking about a case where the first lot of Edom testified about the robbery, the stealing, and they also testified about the slaughtering of the animal at the same time. And there was not an interval, there was not a time lag between them. Why? Because then we say that their whole testimony is considered like one testimony. When they testified for the tvichov at the time of the for the slaughtering, they were still kosher witnesses. Why? Because they still had an opportunity within the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rabbi, it's called Techet Dibur, they had a chance to retract their testimony about the robbery. The fact is they didn't, but they had a chance to. So at that stage, they're still called kosher Edim, and when they testified about the second part, about the slaughtering or sale, that testimony is still considered a valid testimony until they're proved to be Zomim. If, however, there was a time lag. So they came and they testified, these false witnesses testified about the robbery at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then sometime later, half an hour later, whatever, an hour later, they come back and they say, oh, we also saw him slaughter it or sell it. Then they will not be chayv for the dalad v'hei, for the 4 or 5. And why not? And that's because the halacha is, we paskin like a baye, that as Eid Zoymeim becomes possible, becomes unfit, or is declared unfit, not at the time that they're brought to court and when the other set of witnesses come, but right back Lamafreya, retrospectively. And because they are possible retrospectively, if there's a time lag between their testimony of the robbery and the testimony of the slaughtering, then at the time they gave the testimony for the slaughtering, they were already possible. They were already possible because of that first lot of that first testimony they gave in the robbery. And if they're already possible, that means that any testimony they gave would have been totally invalid. So they can't be held responsible for that because the testimony would be thrown out anyway. And for that reason, a Mishnah must be talking about a case where they did it basachas. They testified about the robbery and the slaughtering or sale at the same time. Therefore, they were kosher at the time of the second lot of testimony. Gonav al pi shnayim, person stole based according to two witnesses. V'tavachomach al pi shnayim acherim, and he slaughtered or sold the animal according to two other witnesses. Eilu ve'eilu nimtzu zomimin. Let's say both pairs, two sets of witnesses, both become zomimin. They're both framed. They both turn out to be framing witnesses because we have another pair of witnesses says, how dare you testify this, Reuven and Shimon, and how dare you testify the Shimon Levi about the slaughtering or sale. You were all of you were with us on that day, etc. Says the Mishnah, in such a case, HaRishonim Meshalmim Tashlum Kefil. The first lot of witnesses will pay double. Like, because they testified that the Ganav that they testified that Reuven was a ganef, and they tried to frame him to pay kefil. Vachroinim, the second set of witnesses, that tried to make Reuven pay even more. They wanted him to pay an extra two times the value in the case of a sheep, or the extra three times in the case of the ox. So they'll pay tashlum shloisha, two or three times the value, to the person who is who they tried to frame. Nimtzu acharonim zoimimin. What happens if only the last pair of witnesses for the slayer or slaughter were found out to be framing witnesses? But the first pair, the pair about the geneva, are kosher witnesses. There was nothing wrong with their testimony. Hu mishalm tashlum kefil. So the ganef, who was found out to be guilty for geneva based on the testimony of the first set, he'll pay kefil. The ganef will have to pay kefil. V'hein mishalm tashlum shlosha. Meantime, the witnesses that were found out to be zoimimin because they tried to magnify the penalty to two or three times the value, if it's a sheep or an ox, they will have to pay that, what they tried to impose upon that ganef. They'll pay him based on the halacha of do to them as they try to do to others. Echad min acharonim zoimim. What happens if one of the witnesses that testified to the slaughter or the sale was a zoimim? Was turned out to be a framing witness. Botla Edushneer. Well, the second witness, the second testimony will be tossed out of court. You've only got one witness now for the Tficho Mechira, for the sale or slaughter. And a ganef will own, and the ganef will only pay kefil, because the first set of witnesses are fine. And the witness that was found out to be zomim, found out to be framing, will not even have to pay a penalty, because that only happens when the whole pair of witnesses become zomimim. There's no such thing as half a pair becoming zomimim or paying the penalty. Echad min harishonim zomim. But, says the Mishnah, if it's other way round, if one of the first pair of witnesses that came to testify about the robbery, if he became a zomim, one of them became a zomim, a framed, botel kol edus, the entire testimony gets thrown out of court. Why? Because if there's no geneva, if there's no testimony about this robbery, then the testimony over the sale or slaughter completely breaks down. As the Mishnah says, Shimein Geneva ain't Tvich B'Mechira. If you don't know for a fact that it's stolen, so how can you hold him accountable for selling or slaughtering someone else's animal? You don't even know he stole it. And if the whole Eidos is Botler, therefore both the Ganef, or the one who is brought to court, is potter from paying. The Edim will be potter from paying, because there's only one was found out to be Zomim anyway, and the whole thing gets tossed out. Botla kol Eidos.